Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Real quick before we get started, we have something really cool we want to tell you about.
We're going to Cool Stuff Con in Orlando, Florida, April 18th through 20th, and it's going to be an awesome time.
They're going to have a CDH 5K, three different RCQs, limited events, and Command Fest exclusive promos and stickers.
We're going to be jamming games in the Command Zone along with a bunch of other creators that you know and love from the internet, too.
Use the link in our description to check out Cool Stuff Con packages, and we'll see you there.
Now let's get this podcast started.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about food chain in CEDH, our favorite topic.
The best, well, not even the best, all of the food chain decks in CEDH we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, food chain wins games. It's been our accidental slogan for a long time. We're going to talk about the food chain decks. Overall, I would say food chain decks are normally not the best decks in CEDH. Just so everyone is aware, food chain wins games. That we are aware that food chain is not good. We are aware that it's kind of a weird combo that can't really win through Rhystic Study and is kind of bad on paper. Yet for some reason, it seems with us, the deck just wins a lot. That's all it does. It's still, despite all of this not being so great, it still wins games, and it's a super fun combo to play.
It really is. So let's talk about what the food chain combo is so that we know what we're getting ourselves into for the rest of the day.
Yep, I like that.
All right, so food chain is an enchantment that's 2 and a green, and it says you can exile a creature you control to add X mana of any one color, where X is 1 plus the exiled creature's mana value, but you can only spend this mana to cast creature spells. So this combos with a card like Squee the Immortal. Because Squee the Immortal is 1 and 2 red for a 2/1 that says you can cast him from your graveyard or from exile.
Yeah, that's the important part. When food chain was first created, cards couldn't be cast from exile. That wasn't even a thing. It wasn't even, as far as I'm aware, there was no way to really combo with it until Mistel Griffin, I think, was the first one that got printed that could be cast from exile.
It actually was, yeah. So it took all the way until Avacyn Restored, until we were playing Magic.
Because I remember Evan Irwin talking about that card, how it might see play in like Legacy Delver because you could pitch it to Force of Will or whatever, which is a notably cool part about Mistel Griffin versus Squee is that Mistel Griffin is blue, so you can pitch it to the blue spells.
Exactly, yeah. So any of those reactive blue cards, like you can set up your food chain win for a little bit later, because you can still cast us from exile. And we got another one that was called Eternal Scourge, which is a colorless one, which is just the easiest one to cast at that point.
Yeah, Eternal Scourge is only 3 mana, and if you do have to just get it in play and you can't win, people can't remove it with interaction because, well, they could, but a lot of interaction targets, and if Eternal Scourge is targeted, he has a trigger that's going to exile himself, which means you'll be able to cast him again.
Kind of like Squee, where Squee gets around people wanting to target it, because whether you exile it or he's in your graveyard, you can just get him.
Yeah, that's, I think, the best part about it. Squee, obviously, is that you can also cast him from your graveyard. And weirdly enough, why Mistel Griffin, I think, is the worst of the three, because you can only cast it from exile, whereas the other two have some sort of, I don't want to say protection, but for some way to be able to remain being cast by food chain.
And have a way to get into exile more easily without having to have food chain already.
Yeah, sure.
Like Squee, you can also pitch to Chromox, and I guess like Mistel Griffin, you can too, but like that
Eternal Scourge, you can't. That's not a solo. Eternal Scourge, yeah. Okay, so they all have different strengths and different weaknesses. The 3 mana is also a huge difference from 4 mana, too. That's a huge difference, I think. Being able to just sacrifice a 2-drop with your food chain or exile a 2-drop with your food chain and go right into the 3-drop is much more notable. That's easier to do.
Yeah, way easier to do, I would say.
All these food chain decks are going to require at least green for food chain, obviously. And technically, that's all. They only require green because you can do it with just Eternal Scourge. Although adding blue for Mistel Griffin and or red for Squee, those can be pulls to food chain as well.
I will say we will only be talking about 2-color combinations and up.
Yeah, I don't think there is a mono green commander that could. Someone's going to say, well, actually, If you need another card, that's not good.
No,
the combo is Food Chain plus the creature and your commander. Two cards, not three, because your commander you always have access to, so that's not a card.
Correct.
Two card combo. That's why Food Chain can be playable. Once you make it three cards, once you're playing Prosh, no offense to the Prosh lovers, Prosh was once a Food Chain deck. It was like, I think one of the, like, I shouldn't say one of the first powerful decks, but
it was one of the better Food Chain
decks. It was
decks.
A dominating deck early on when they first started printing those commander cards. It was able to use Food Chain because you would make infinite... what does it make? Thralls? Scrolls?
Infinite Goblins.
Goblins?
Yeah,
sure.
We'll talk about him later.
But yeah. You need Porphyros or something else to win with that.
Yeah.
That's no longer good enough for CDH. We're only looking for two. Thus, no mono green commanders.
Yeah, exactly.
All that to say that.
You'll see that there's a pattern in the commanders that we're looking at today where they have an infinite mana way to win the game by being able to get rid of them and having them come back. So a lot of times they'll have enter the battlefield abilities, or they'll have a way for you to draw your entire deck when you cast them for infinite mana as well too. Some way to spiral through your deck and then find a win naturally from there.
Yeah, enters triggers and leaves triggers are going to be the main thing that we're looking for. Stuff like Thrasios doesn't work because it's an activated ability. So anything that's like an activated ability, Food Chain can't make mana for that. Food Chain only makes mana to cast creature spells.
Exactly, yeah. Is there anything else about Food Chain that we want to talk about, maybe?
I mean, we talked about the requirements of Food Chain plus the creature that can be cast from exile. I think when we're talking about Food Chain, there's like a few other signposts that draw you to Food Chain. Should we talk about that now, or should we bring them up as we go through the commanders?
I think because what I have done is I've separated all of the Food Chain commanders out by their color combinations, I think it would be cool to talk about the strengths of the color combinations as we go through them.
Okay, yeah.
And what they might be. So
let's
way
just
we
start
can,
with one of the colors.
We can
yeah.
save some stuff for later on in the podcast.
That sounds good.
All right, well, why don't we start off with Gruul?
Yeah.
Because there's actually a surprisingly large number of red-green Food Chain commanders out there. I have three on the list.
I didn't even know that. Why would you play Not Atali?
Oh, because I don't know, because in case you want to play a cheaper commander in Roxanne. And then that way you have a way to like have a Kinnan effect in your command zone with a bunch of meteorites.
I know we talked about this before, about maybe not saying these card names, all of them, or what they do specifically. I don't know what Roxanne does.
I think it's very important to say how these cards win with Food Chain.
Yeah. Because I know it makes a meteorite. Is that what it does?
Yeah. So when it enters the battlefield or attacks, it makes the meteorite. And all meteorites say that when they enter the battlefield, they do 2 damage to any target.
Oh,
so that means that if you have the Food Chain combo, you can cast Roxanne and exile Roxanne, and every time you recast Roxanne, she enters creating a meteorite that has 2 damage to be dealt at whatever you want.
And you'll be able to make manas of all colors with the Food Chain. We didn't specifically mention that. Even with just a Squee, you can make infinite red first by casting Squee and making 4 mana each time, but then once you make a billion red, then you can exile it for a blue and then recast it with your billion red. Exile for another blue, cast it with your billion red, etc., etc., and green also. I don't know why I said blue. I meant green. You understand what I'm talking about.
Maybe there will be some decks that want to make infinite blue
maybe,
for creatures that way too. Yeah.
What are the stats of this card?
So she's a 5-mana 4/3.
So that part sucks.
That part sucks. But like, she's an alternative in case you don't want to play a deck that's full of mana. Her other text says when you tap an artifact token for mana, add 1 mana of any type that artifact could produce.
Can you tap the meteorites for mana?
The meteorites also
tap for mana
of any color. Yeah.
Okay.
So the meteorites when she's out are tapping for 2 mana, which is really nice. So that's kind of how you get like this kind of fake Kinnan effect that doesn't work for your mana dorks or your soul rings, weirdly enough. But
okay, so if you cast her for 5 mana and you make a meteorite, that meteorite can right away the very first turn tap for 2 mana
and also deal 2 damage to
that's
something.
True. Okay,
yes.
So it looks like 5, but she's really a 3 mana commander.
That's also some kind of an interactive piece too.
Okay,
so
got it.
She would also let you play better cards in your deck too, instead of just like Atali and ramp and like stuff like that. Like you can fill your deck with more like interactive pieces and stacks that will like help you interact with the table a little bit more instead of being all in.
Oh, is that good card?
I don't think it's necessarily better than Atali, but
I see what
you're saying. That you could do
individually. The cards that you'll play in this deck might be a little bit more powerful. They'll do more things. Whereas
Atali individually,
the cards just make mana or something.
Yeah.
But what's the combination of the parts is greater than the sum of the toll? I said all those words wrong.
I think that's from the Art of War, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
When you add, what I'm trying to say, I'm so sorry. What I'm trying to say is when you add things together, sometimes the result is not just the thing plus the thing plus the thing plus the thing. It's a multiplier, not an addition.
It's the synergy that matters.
It's the
more.
Synergy. And that's, I think Atali has that strength. I know I'm talking about Atali right now when we're talking about Roxanne, but even though individually the power level of Atali on card by card might not be as good, together it is good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's one last Gruul food chain commander that's okay. Technically out there. That's Hugs Grizzly Guardian.
What is it? I've never heard of this,
this
card.
This is the one from Bloomsboro.
Oh.
And it's X. Is it two red
Bloomsboro?
And two green. Yeah, multiple blooms. Is yeah.
I thought it was just the one Bloomsboro.
No, it's they have many springs.
Okay.
This one has an X in his mana cost, because when he enters, you exile the top X cards of your library, and until your next turn, you can play those cards.
Ah.
So in theory, if you have infinite food chain mana, you get to draw your entire deck with Hugs, play every single card in your deck.
Oh, that's pretty cool. What is green, red, X, and then what is the...
It's X, red, red, green, green.
Oh,
so,
that's why. Because you can't really do it like just by itself.
No, you couldn't. But he's a 4-mana 5/5 with Trampler. So he's
always a 5/5 Trampler.
And yeah, and you always get the cards until next turn. So like he'll enter the battlefield and effectively draw you X cards.
Okay.
You just have to use them on your next turn.
What if this card, you think about it, like it's a 7-mana commander like Atali is. For 4 and XXX, you exile the top 3 cards of your library, and until your next turn, you can cast those 3 cards?
That's not as terrible.
That's kind of what Atali is trying to do.
I think we're going to see that there is a difference between like the decks, these food chain decks that are like good, and a lot of these food chain decks that aren't as good. Like,
yeah.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to be like taking one of these commanders from each of these color combinations and being like, this one's clearly miles above the rest of the options, and that's the one that we're going to rank.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that this card is maybe not as bad as I initially thought. It feels like a little bit more of a controllable Atali, but I think the big difference is the free part of Atali. Atali cast those things for free right now.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you have to wait until next turn.
And then actually spend the mana on those things,
and then
too.
Actually spend the mana. And let's be honest, red-green is by itself not a great color combination. I'm sorry, it's just not, the power is not there.
I'll agree with that.
Atali is great because Atali can cast black spells and green blue spells and white spells. Atali can cast a silence out of your opponent's deck. Like, Atali is good because it reaches outside of its color combination to do more than what Gruul normally can. And we've never seen any of these cards do anything in tournaments.
No.
Roxanne
no,
and
we
the
haven't.
Bear. Is it a bear?
Hugs is not a bear. Hugs is a badger warrior.
Okay. The badger warrior and whatever. These two cards have, as far as I'm aware, have not really shown up. Not saying that they're unplayable. I think a good pilot could probably win 25% of their games with a deck like this. But I think a bad pilot could win 30% of the games with Atali. So Atali's higher for me.
I'll agree with that too. Yeah. All right. So I'll highlight Atali. And maybe
we didn't really even talk about, you know, Atali. I guess. We just talked about it in comparison to these others.
Oh, what a poor way to do that. Yeah. Because Atali is kind of better than all these. Because Atali is a 7-mana 7/7 that when it enters makes everyone exile cards from the top of their library until they reveal a non-land. And then you just cast them.
You just cast it for free.
All of them for free. Yeah.
Notable things, counter spells or whiffs, basically, because there's nothing else on the stack at the time of casting them. You can't counter your own thing. That's not how it works. So counter spells or whiffs. But basically, any tutor is so close to a win for you.
Basically, yeah, because all you need to do is find food chain, and then food chain allows you to get more Atalis, which is the nutty part.
Normally, you'll do like a few Atalis in a turn. What would you say is like the average of like how many times do you want to cast Atali before or get Atali triggers before thinking I should be able to win the game by now?
My third Atali makes me feel like I should be able to win the game.
That's what I normally think. That's 12 cards. If you're seeing 12 spells from all of your opponents and your deck, normally there's going to be two tutors between them, right?
I would hope so, because like your Atali deck is full of ramp, which is good because like post Atali, a lot of times like there's other cards that let you tutor or draw, and you need to be able to cast the things that you tutor and draw. So I don't necessarily mind flipping over into other people's talismans and their soul rings and stuff like that. My deck is also full of other ways to copy Atali too.
Twin flames and stuff.
Exactly. So you just kind of have to like get lucky and set your deck up right so that you have the right stuff.
Yeah. And when you say set your deck up right, you don't
mean
stack
before
your
the
deck.
Start of the game. You.
I feel like Atali is one of these decks that sometimes plays out like a quick Karkin Sakashima because it feels like it's luck. It feels like, oh, of course, Atali gets this. But it's like kind of not, because you're out of four CDH decks, out of four spells, at least one of them is going to be really good. Sometimes three of them are going to be really good. Sometimes you whiff, and no one's going to remember the time that you hit nothing good. But everyone's going to remember the time that you hit two tutors and a ritual or something crazy out of the one hit from a Tali, right?
Exactly, yeah. And if the first hit can chain you into another hit, like, a lot of times you just need to make sure you get a critical mass. And then even then, if you, like, can't win, but you have five Tali triggers, like, a lot of times you can set yourself up so that no one else can win, and you basically built your own final fortune that didn't require any like risk at all.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. In reference to food chain specifically, this one wins by casting Tali over and over and over again and exiling all of yours and your opponent's libraries. You theoretically can just cast their win conditions and win right there. If for some reason you can't, you could pass a turn and they'll draw on their draw step before it gets wrecked to you. Right?
It is a little awkward because I have to cast the cards as they come up. Yeah. So like, unless Thassa's Oracle's the last spell in someone's library, like, I'm not gonna always get like the cleanest wins, but
theoretically, like,
there's a lot of ways that, like, you can even just like pass the turn and then you go, oh, okay, I can't win at instant speed because, like, you flipped into God Pharaoh statue off of Magda.
Right.
There's nothing that anyone can do. Like, every deck has things that I can do against them to make sure that they won't be able to win. And there's four decks that I get to sort through that do this.
And you also have Dualcaster Mage in your deck. You have other ways to actually just win the game on your own by attacking with, you're already playing the Twin Flames because they're so good, you can win via the attacking tutus.
Exactly. Yeah, so a lot of times you just get to set up other wins as you're going through your Atalis.
And also, like, most of the time, players aren't going to make you play that all the way out. Like, sometimes they will, but if you can display, I'm just going to cast Atali over and over and cast everyone's spells, no one's watching that. How do you win? If you can't interact by then, and this, sometimes maybe they have a fucking Angel's Grace or I don't know, whatever, something stupid. Maybe that could be the case, but there's, like, realistically,
even then,
no
I
way
just,
for them to win.
Yeah, even then, I pass the turn, and then there's nothing that they can do. Right. They die to having no library.
Right, yeah, and you don't necessarily even have to, like, exile your whole library or whatever. You can just, like, exile all but one or two of their cards and just your board is 300 permanents or something, right? Like, what are
yeah,
they gonna
really?
Do? So yeah, Atali is great, although maybe not as much in tournaments.
I feel like you can do well with Atali, but I feel like Atali needs some heat to not be against him.
Yeah.
Is kind of the thing. Like, Atali needs to be able to make sure Atali's uncounterable. It needs to kind of, like, fade Mind Break Traps.
Yeah.
And all of these food chain decks we're going to talk about need to be able to fade
Rhystic Study.
Rhystic Study and Dranith Magistrate, and need to make sure that they have ways to be able to deal with both of those things, unless you're Atali.
Rhystic Study you bring up now, I think that's the biggest issue I find with the deck, is that it just straight up can't win through a Rhystic Study. Every spell, you're going to give your opponent a card draw, and eventually they'll find something that they can do to stop you, normally. Sometimes you can get out the defense grid first and they're tapped out or whatever, but it can be difficult to win through a Rhystic Study.
Again, unless you're Atali.
Then
you can just go
And then
through,
you're just like, yeah, draw your card. What are you going to do? You're going to counter this one thing? Great. Okay, I'm going to keep on going
that's
until
great.
I hit
right.
another thing.
Another Atali. That sounds great.
For
yeah.
every one thing that you get, I get four things, and eventually it'll just normally work out.
It's not a great plan, but
it can work.
You feel better when they tap out for Rhystic Study and go, oh, I can still Atali and go for it, instead of like every other food chain deck I feel like can't do that.
Because you're gaining advantage as you go through the combo. It's
exactly,
not just the combo.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll hit your silence, so any of the stuff you find after that doesn't matter then. Yeah.
Okay, do we want to rate it yet out of five or something? Or just going to stack it against each other?
Let's just stack it against each other. Right now, I'm rating it.
Atali's the best of the one we talked
about. I'm rating it yellow is what I rated it.
Yellow sounds good.
Yeah. All right, so now let's move on to blue-green.
Okay.
This is another color combination that has a couple different ones.
But no real ones.
Because Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath, I feel like we had to talk about because we've had it on the channel a couple times. This one wins with food chain because when it enters the battlefield, it sacrifices itself when you cast it from the command zone and also draws you a card.
You draw a card, gain through life, goes back to the command zone, do it again.
So you can draw through your deck and then use your infinite mana to cast Thassa's Oracle or some other, maybe even more efficient way to win the game. And Wilson Candlekeep Sage is technically the same thing, right?
I completely forgot about that one. Okay,
Me too. This is not a good combination for food chain because you don't have a good way to tutor for food chain outside of the transmute creature.
Yeah, exactly. Blue-green has no real ways to tutor for enchantments, which is a big downfall of the blue-green aspect of it. Also, Uro unfortunately sucks. I mean, Uro is a cool, very powerful magic card in a lot of formats. In CDH, 3 mana for draw 1 card, the land drop, the 3 life. It's just, the rate's not good enough. It's just not good enough rate on its own. so then all it is an outlet. And then to like have no commander and just say it's just an outlet, that also kind of sucks.
Having 3 Uros in your deck is also way better. When you have 60 cards in your deck too,
yes,
I feel
time.
Like there's just a lot of stuff for 60 card formats.
Uros better than the Candlekeep one.
But I would say that they're both not good. Like I would rate Uro green right now.
Oh no, red, because not good. Stop.
Oh, red's not good.
Red's not good. Red,
okay.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing.
I was thinking like it was green for go ahead and don't play that deck.
I'm going to give it a red. You can give it a green. I'll give it a red.
All right. No, it's red. I think that makes sense.
It's worse than a tally.
It's definitely worse than a tally. All right. So now we're going to move on to 3 color combinations.
Where the real heat is.
The real heat starts to come in. And we're going to take both of the color combinations we just talked about and just shove them together and talk about Temur.
Temur has some close ones.
Temur has 5 of them that I could find.
Okay. Yeah.
The most prominent one right now is Loot the Pathfinder, the new one.
Loot seems good. Loot seems real.
Loot actually seems pretty real.
Nice.
Thanks.
I don't think that Food Chain is a main win condition for that deck. I think Loot would rather just like keep on grinding value until they accidentally find Displacer Kitten and Kinnan and then just draw a bunch of cards like that.
Because unlike a lot of these other commanders that win with Food Chain, Loot requires that you leave up an additional green mana. You can't use Food Chain mana to use Loot's activated abilities. But if you have one source of green, you can start funneling that back into Loot's ability to tap 4 mana of any color. And then that way you can re-exile Loot to Food Chain, cast him again, then use his mana ability to generate regular infinite mana that you can use to either deal damage to the table, or if there's a one ring in play, you can draw out your deck and find another win condition.
Exactly. You have to leave up that extra green, and I think just Loot is a little bit slower because it's 5 mana to cast the Loot and then the one extra green,
yeah.
So it's a little bit slower than maybe some of the other options.
And he has haste. I should say that too. All of his exhaust abilities require him to tap, but he has haste and double strike.
I think some of the combos that I've seen with this deck seem a little bit strange. I don't know how I feel about Deadeye, but we're in a weird spot right now where maybe a year ago I would have laughed at a Consecrated Sphinx, and now I see Consecrated Sphinx from any deck and I go, oh fuck, you know what I mean? So
we're
in a different spot now than we were 6 months or maybe up to 2 years ago. I think
Consecrated Sphinx is just in a whole other league than Deadeye Navigator.
Yeah, like it probably is, but that's why I'm saying like cards that I formerly thought were just high power commander cards.
Oh, I see what you
maybe
mean.
Maybe not right now. I don't know.
I don't know. I tried doing Blink stuff with 4 color Omnath.
Wasn't there for that one.
I didn't feel like that was one of the stronger win conditions.
I think Omnath is worse than Loot, though, for Commander.
Well, maybe we'll have to figure that out later when we talk about that color combination,
okay.
I guess.
Should we talk about the other Temur commanders quick? I don't think any of them are as good as Loot.
Speaking of Omnath, there's a 3-color Omnath.
Oh, right.
That when it enters, draws you a card, but I think that's worse than Loot.
All it does is just draw that card.
Yeah, same thing with Borborygmos and Fibblefip.
Oh, same thing, just draws a card,
basically. The same thing, yeah. Also, not that great. I think probably better to have him play than 3-color Omnath, but not by much.
Yeah.
Flubs the Fool is a Food Chain deck.
Yeah.
And that one just exists outside of ranking.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring that one up.
Flubs is cool.
Because it's just so cool.
Yeah. Is Flubs isn't better than Loot. No, I don't think so.
Like I said, it exists outside of ranking.
Yeah,
so it's just like there.
That one gets a 5.
That one gets a 5.
That one gets a 5. Which is unfortunately lower than red right now, but it still gets 5.
Yeah. obviously, color. Are higher than numbers.
Yeah, obviously.
Which is weird because that implies that numbers end somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the last one that I have here is Maelstrom Wanderer, because double cascade means that you can just cast every spell in your deck. And if you don't want to cast it, it just goes back to the bottom of your library. So you can just wait for something to be advantageous for you in order for you to win the game.
I still think Loot is better, mainly because Loot is better on its own, where all of these other ones are kind of mediocre in CDH on their own, and they just serve as an outlet. Loot actually does stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it better than Atali?
Blue is so good.
Blue
yeah.
is so good.
Food Chain is better in Atali than it is in Loot.
That's
like
true.
The actual combo itself is better in Atali than it is Loot.
Food Chain in Atali works as just like an awesome piece of the I want to cast Chunky over and over again, whereas Loot, Food Chain is just kind of a win condition there.
I think Atali has shown that you can do really well in tournaments with it.
Yeah.
And Loot has kind of shown that too.
Have we seen it show up
yet? Loot top 16'd our tournament.
Top 16. I want to win.
I want to win. And has a Itali has Itali gonna win? Post bans, I have not seen a full blown win from Itali, I don't think. I've seen Itali perform, but I have not seen a win from Itali, I don't think.
I like Itali more personally right now than Lute, so I'm gonna go Itali, Lute, and then the other one.
Man, Itali should be Itali's yellow.
Itali, yeah, so but it's like a lime yellow. Like a limeish yellow. With like a slight limeish tint.
Lute is that?
No, oh, I guess Itali. I'm raising Itali, but realistically, I guess Lute should be a reddish orangish.
I see.
Maybe
okay.
An orange. Lute is an orange. Yellow and red.
See, to me, orange is in between red and yellow. I'm waiting for something that's better than Uro and worse than Itali.
Well,
for orange.
Uro is red. Lute is orange.
That's why. I think that Lute should be...
Lute's just yellow. And Itali's red?
Also, Lute can also be yellow. Lute's also yellow for right now.
Let's move on to the next one.
Because they're both still trying to prove themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Our next color combination is Jund, the black-green-red color combination, a favorite of ours. I should delete Prash because you said that Prash wasn't going to be on the list at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I guess we have Korvold to talk about.
Yeah. Prash just needs an extra piece. To me, that's too many pieces.
Yeah. And there is an additional Simic commander that I did not include because it requires an additional piece too.
That's a lot of stuff. Korvold is one that lost a lot with the Dockside ban. That was like the Dockside deck.
But it gained a friend in Food Chain. Food Chain was just
Food Chain's back on the menu.
I was always here for you, buddy.
I think this one's a little bit interesting because you have to sacrifice another permanent when it enters to draw the card, I believe. So what it has to combo with Squee in Food Chain because you have to cast the Squee and then be able to cast it from graveyard. That's how Korvold draws cards, by sacking another permanent, not itself.
That's true.
So you have to have another permanent to sack each time. So you have to have the Squee to be able to cast it from your graveyard.
That's the only one that it works with. So you don't get
you don't really get Eternal Scourge,
which is fine because
might be another thing that I'm forgetting.
I think that's fine though because a lot of Food Chain decks really don't need both copies. I don't think like Itali only needs the Squee. I don't play the Eternal one at all. And I think because Black now gives us access. This is the first time we're talking about a Black Food Chain deck.
Yeah.
And we get access to some other cool pieces, and Entomb is one of those pieces.
Yeah.
And that's just basically like another tutor for Squee.
Black Red specifically gives you the ability to Entomb for Squee. You can't Entomb for any of the other ones, but you can Entomb for Squee, which is nice. Black also gives you the Forbidden Tutors.
Ooh, yes.
Tainted Pact and Demonic Consultation. Those work pretty well with Food Chain because if you can exile a whole chunk of your library and either name Food Chain with Demonic Consultation or just go until you hit Food Chain with Tainted Pact, hopefully, if you're playing two of the creatures or sometimes just because of luck, you can exile one of those creatures on the way to find the Food Chain. So you can exile the Squee on the way to get to the Food Chain, find the Food Chain, and then boom, you have the Squee right there. A lot of these Food Chain decks, they need additional pieces, so sometimes just getting that isn't enough. If you exile the Thassa's Oracle or the Dualcaster Mage on the way to it, that can screw you up, but a lot of times the cards can still be really powerful with Food Chain.
I want to go back to Itali as an example, just so that we don't spoil more commanders to come, but that's an example of a commander where if I spin into someone else's Forbidden Tutor, I can use it to find my own Food Chain, and because my win condition is past the turn after I've cast your whole deck, it doesn't matter to me what I exile along the way. Whereas Korvold here, it kind of does.
All Korvold does is draw, right?
Exactly, yeah. So if you exile all your win conditions on the way to find the Food Chain that you named off of Demonic Consultation, you're kind of out of luck.
As much as I love Korvold, I think the commander is super cool. Fortunately, I don't think it's quite as powerful as even something as new as Lute, just because the addition of blue is so huge, and Korvold doesn't do anything particularly unique in CDH. 5 mana to draw the card is neat, but without the super crazy Dockside Treasure enabler, all of the other sacrifice things are... they can be fine. They can be good. They're not as good as when you compare to other shit.
Yeah, when you don't get so many treasures that just net you 1 mana and 1 card every time you just crack one.
Right.
It really lowered what you can be doing in that deck by quite a bit. I think he should be a dark orange.
I would play Korvold for fun. I would put the deck together.
I wouldn't put Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath together.
That
so
sounds
I think
so
that
bad.
There's yeah, so I think that there's definitely a gap in between though, but I do feel like Korvold is on the lower end of power when it comes to a Food Chain deck.
I wouldn't
right
bring
now.
It to a tournament. I don't think it's quite a tournament deck. So yeah, I would agree that it is beneath yellow. Yellow is kind of my bare minimum for what's playable in a tournament. And right now I have Lute and Itali there, and I would agree that Korvold is a blood orange. Just below.
Yeah.
Is that cool? Does that make sense?
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
The orange I end up using is kind of like a fall orange on here. I'll take it. Let's move on to Naya.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Naya.
We love this color combination.
Naya was one of the first combinations that I fell in love with as a player 1,000 years ago when I started playing. After I had my pre-con decks and I took those apart and was like, let me actually build a real standard deck, Naya was the first combination that I was really drawn to.
Dude, Wooly Thakdar is such a busted card.
So cool. For me specifically, the deck that I'm remembering that like made me love Magic was a Naya deck in standard that played Domri Raid and Boros Reckoner.
Gatecrash standard. Yeah.
I remember this mulligan to 3 more vividly than I can remember most things. I opened up on Avzan's Pilgrim Stomping Ground Domri Raid against the Imbalorites deck, the Abzan Imbalorites deck. I start with Stomping Ground's Avzan's Pilgrim. They play a Mana Dork. They're on the play, though. They play Mana Dork. I play Mana Dork. They play a second Mana Dork. I top deck a land, play Boros Reckoner. They do something else, and then I have the Domri Raid the next turn to have my Boros Reckoner fight their Mana Dork, and then the extra damage go to their other Mana Dork. And I won that mulligan to 3. I lost the match, but I won that mulligan to 3, and it was like the coolest experience
of
my life.
That's so cool.
Naya specifically like Domri Raid, Boros Reckoner, Thundermaw Hellkite, Thragtusk, all those cards ring very true
to
me.
What a cool time in standard.
We're not talking about any of those cards for Food Chain right now, but they're still cool cards.
Yeah, exactly. There's 2 commanders that I have here on the Naya side.
Give
I figured let's start with the worst one.
Okay.
I have to look this one up, actually. It's Pant Laza.
Oh, yeah.
Did you remember?
Nate played this one for a while.
Yeah, this one. Because when Pant Laza enters, or another dinosaur technically, you discover X, where X is that creature's toughness.
Kind of Cascade,
which means for the same reason that you could Maelstrom Wanderer through your deck, you can also Pant Laza through your deck.
This one is 5 mana?
5 mana and 4 power.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So how does Discover work? So you exile a non-land card with mana value
X or less, and X is the toughness, 4 or less, yeah.
You have to build your deck a specific way, technically. Like, if a 6-drop in that you'd want to get, technically you couldn't do that.
You'd have to be able to find this. But there's how many, big things are you actually going to find? My main issue with this one is that all it kind of is a win condition. Its value is there. You can still just cast it as a 5-mana cantrip, but that's not good, That's not good. I don't really love what it brings additionally, and for me, the Food Chain decks have to not only win, but they also have to bring additional value. So I don't love this one. The next one I like a lot.
Kiki Jiki. That's something you can't do in this deck.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's something you can't do.
I am sure there is a way that you could spin your tutors and find Eldritch Evolution to Kiki Jiki at some point or something.
Oh, for
sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But yeah, sure.
Rocco, Cabaretti Caterer.
This one I like.
Yeah, this one I like quite a bit.
This one I think is something. Yeah.
Because this one is just Court of Calling on a creature.
Yeah, well, Sorcery Speed. But yes,
Sorcery
same
Speed.
Rate,
and
yeah,
it costs Naya and doesn't have Convoke.
Well, yeah, exactly. But yes, it just, it finds a creature. I love the toolbox aspect of it.
Me too.
That's what Naya lacks, is like card advantage. Naya lacks a good way to just like keep up on cards and interaction with the table. But if you can find the very specific thing that you need at any time, normally just like a 1-drop to get through your combo faster. But sometimes if you want to build your deck so you can find Dranith Magistrate or collect your Oof or whatever, I like that this deck has the ability to do that.
Yeah, me too. Like even Esper Sentinel is just a great way to get cards. But I do like just powering out your win a little bit quicker with Rocco, because like it goes to find you a creature that sacrifices for mana too, something like that.
And the best part is Food Chain just becomes a 1-card win condition in this deck, because you can just Rocco X for 3 and find Squee. As long as you find the Food Chain, you're good to go. Rocco can do it. And Rocco, with the Food Chain out, can turn your mana dorks into mana for Rocco to make sure that you can find the Squee and then go from there. You can play it with whichever order you want.
And then that way, with infinite mana, you can just Rocco and get every single creature out of your deck and win with whatever creature combo you want.
Yeah, I guess what do you win with? Since your deck is, your Rocco's a 3-drop, you probably have Birthing Pod lines still. Do they still play that, right?
They definitely do play Birthing Pod lines.
Kiki Jiki thing, yeah.
A lot of the decks are playing a lot of Rector stuff too. So I don't think that means that they're playing Protean Hawk stuff, but I think that just means that like they're trying to find ways to get the six mana Vivian into play to get their birthing pod line going.
What's it called? Dreadnought. Phyrexian Dreadnought is a new, I don't know if it's new, but a newish addition
it's
to that
new
deck.
It's new to me.
Yeah, where you can find a one drop that can sacrifice a creature when it enters. The Dreadnought, you can try to pay the cost by sacrificing the creature that you want gone and then fail to pay the full cost and the Dreadnought still goes to the graveyard or wherever it goes.
Yeah.
But you still get to sacrifice the thing to
pay
for it.
Weird how that works. Yeah, like you can still sacrifice and go, hey, I tried, and then it goes, not good enough, and you still have to sacrifice Dreadnought.
With Rector specifically, Arena Rector, being able to find the Vivian, like you said, Vivian can set up a win condition if you have a three drop by getting together your Kiki Jiki Felidar line from there. It's a lot of mana. The deck is it's mana intensive.
It is very, because Rocco not having Convoke the way Quarter Calling does, like really goes to show how expensive it can be to get a creature that you want out of your deck.
Yes, exactly. And then not having blue, I mean, we're going to talk about that for anything that doesn't have blue. Blue is just so powerful, I think, right now. But you at least have white. You have the silence effects, which are huge in food chain decks in particular. When you're losing Heuristic Study, you have the access. I can find Grand Abolisher. I don't care about Heuristic Study. I have Grand Abolisher. It doesn't matter. Especially there's Kutzel. There's all. In Naya, you have a lot of options.
Deafening Silence, too. Like, sure. You don't care about Deafening Silence because, like, everything in your deck is a creature for the most part.
So adding white, I think, is super helpful. Another thing that white adds to the food chain decks, weirdly, is just Enlightened Tutor. You have another way to find
Another way to find food chain, super important.
There doesn't exist a ton of ways to find enchantments in Magic. White is the only one that has access to it, Enlightened Tutor, and then the other ones are three mana, don't play the three mana tutors, and then black has tutors, but no other color tutors for enchantment, except for if it's like a transmute card, and then those rates are really bad sometimes. That's, I think, one of the big issues with food chain is oftentimes you have a hard time finding it, but adding white, I think, helps with that, along with the silence effect. So I think Rocco is pretty good. Honestly, part of me wants to say that I think it's better than Lute Natali. I don't know if that's true.
So, like, part of me wants to say that, but I'm going through, and in the past 2 weeks, Atali has had a bigger metagame share.
Really?
And Rocco's, like, not even represented.
Okay.
From what I'm looking at on mtgdecks.net.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It is represented.
But less than Atali.
Only 9 appearances.
How many does Atali have?
Whereas Atali's up at 20.
Do we know conversion rate? Because appearance doesn't mean, it just means popularity, right? It doesn't mean good.
No.
Well, but Magic players are smart. If more of them are picking it, that's got to mean something.
I think that is definitely something.
Okay. So I will give, can I bump Atali up a touch? I'm going to give Atali that lime green yellow I was talking about earlier, and I'm going to put Rocco in at the just full yellow slot.
Okay. So Rocco's going to go to yellow, and we're going to promote Atali up to
yellow green. I think Atali is finding a home in the metagame specifically right now. I think that's what those 20 decks are showing us. I think Atali is finding a home on turn two where Rocco is less easily finding that home. Does that make sense? Atali is just going to jam right through the card advantage and win 75% of those games, and sometimes that'll be enough. You've gotten locked. You're lost.
I'm trying. I just figured out how to customize. Oh, okay. Here we go. You want like a yellow-green?
I was thinking yellow-green. Because I don't know if I would give Atali a full green just yet.
No, I don't think so either.
I think I only have one deck in mind, a food chain deck, that I would consider as close to green. I don't even know if that one's a full green. Maybe two.
I'm trying really hard to get a custom color.
I don't know
on
that the
here.
Right color is super relevant right now. You can probably just write down greenish yellow. Like, I feel like for right now.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Greenish yellow.
What color are we on? Did we finish Naya?
We finished Naya, yeah.
I keep on thinking about building Rocco, and last time I thought about building Rocco, I accidentally started building Sisse instead, so I haven't gotten there yet.
There was a patron that submitted a Rocco deck, and as of this morning, it's like 40% built for you to play this weekend. So,
cool. Oh yeah, I'm playing it this weekend. That's exciting. Maybe it'll make me figure out that I definitely
I got my fingers crossed for you. Yeah, that's how I know they're still on Birthing Pod.
I need a food chain deck. I don't have any food chain decks together right now.
We gotta find you. I was hoping that maybe this podcast might also help you figure out which food chain deck you want.
Unfortunately, we're going to come to my same conclusion is that I don't love any of them right
now.
But
you need it for fun deck.
You need it for fun deck. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And maybe it'll be our Bant representative here.
It won't. Let's read it anyway.
Helgish Skitterish Seer.
That's what it's called?
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of called that.
So Helga only works with Miss Talogryphon, so already she's on the fringes because she only works with the worst of the food chain creatures.
Yeah, the worst one.
Because whenever you cast a creature spell with mana value 4 or greater, you get to draw a card, gain a life, and put a +1/+1 counter on Helga.
Cast Miss Talogryphon, draw the card, make the mana, yada yada.
Draw through your deck and win however you want.
This is another one that falls into all it does is win with food chain. The value that it gains otherwise is not good enough. drawing that one card off of a Force of Will can be nice, I guess, but Glarb does high mana value stuff way better.
Way better, yeah. I'm going to go with red for Helga and just say we don't have to spend a lot of time on this.
Moving on, you could win decks. You could win games with this deck. I'm not saying that you can't. I don't want to.
I don't want to even win games with this deck.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
All right, so our next color combination is Sultai.
Yeah.
Also known as Bug.
We're getting closer.
We're getting way closer to some of the good stuff here because this combination gets us all of the good tutors, all the forbidden tutors.
Yep, it gives you the green creature tutors, which are great at finding Eternal Scourge, because all you need to do is get a green creature in play, and the green creature tutors do that.
And then you're all set to go. So I have two from the Fallout set.
Oh, right, yeah.
There was the Wise Mothman and Master Transcendent. Both work with Food Chain because they enter the battlefield and give either all players or one player rad counters. If someone has infinite rad counters, they'll mill their entire deck and take damage for each non-land that they milled over this way on their beginning of combat step.
Is that true? So they get a main phase one?
They get... It happens on their main phase one.
Okay. And they'll have no library either. So when they go to their draw step, right? Because you mill... Oh, no. Because it mills once they lose the counters on upkeep.
Let me re-look at rad.
I think what happens is they have a billion rad, and then on upkeep or the main phase one, they'll mill to do it.
They definitely mill their entire library. Yeah, it's at the beginning of their pre-combat main phase. They'll mill their entire library if they have infinite rad.
Yeah.
And for each non-land milled this way, they'll lose one life. So as long as they play more than 40 spells that are still in their library, they'll just die right there.
The only thing I don't like about this is that we are in a Born Upon the Wind world and a Valley Flood color world, and you give people another phase. You give them an untap, an upkeep, and a draw step where they are still can make game actions and potentially still win the game.
And unlike a Tali where you do that, like at least a Tali lets you cast your whole deck, their whole decks, and find ways to make sure that they can't do that.
Right, yeah. And also a Tali cuts off their draw step, which is one less thing. This one, they get their draw step still.
They can respond
to the rad triggers counters after. So that means they can even...
Look, I found Valley Floodcaller. How lucky.
Their Vampiric Tutor can still turn on or something like that. Whereas Atali exiles everything. And yeah, like you said, Atali, you've cast all of their spells. There's nothing else that they can do. There's nothing else they can cast. I guess they have the cards in their hand, but you'll also have them play just so much shit that it won't matter.
The one time that mattered where, like, because I was feeding a Rhystic Study, and then that can matter. And our buddy Colby was like, no, I have Born Upon the Wind. I have Thassa's Oracle and Demonic Consultation. And I was like, thank God we're playing against Magda because there's God Pharaoh Statue. There's a couple of Thorns, now you can't do
you
that.
You can't do any of that stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. If you play against Sisay, like, you'll flip into Teferi, I guess.
Atali can get around the problem. These decks can't. I give them a very deep yellow.
Well, they might not even be representing this color combination quite yet. We have a couple more. We have Ukama and Khazur.
This is the one that I like.
This one might take the cake for the color combination because you don't need something else. Ukama and Khazur just wins you the game with the Food Chain combo right away because Ukama enters the battlefield, drains an opponent for 2 life, and then you can exile it right away to recast it right away. So as long as there's no Rhystic Study or Draenith Magistrate, it doesn't matter if you've consulted your entire library away, you can still win through Food Chain.
Yeah, I think this one's definitely the fastest of the Food Chain decks. It's the list that I keep kind of active-ish, just because I keep on looking back to it. My issue again with it, like I've mentioned before, is that all it does is win. Besides that, the commanders offer you nothing. Why it's okay, I think, with Ukama and Khazur is that you need literally nothing else, like you said. All you need is your commander. So if you exile your Thassa's Oracle and every other card of your library, you can still win the game, and that part's really nice. It's the thing that I like most about this commander pairing, but the fact that it offers you no card advantage in any way, that does kind of
that
stink.
Is a big bummer.
When I played it recently, I found that it was kind of easy enough in Sultai colors to just like mulligan for card advantage, and then boom, you fix that problem. But you can't always do that. You're not always going to find the Dark Confidant or the Rhystic Study or whatever it is. I still think I give this one a yellow. I do think it's still playable. It's one of the better ones, but I don't know that it's better than Atali, mainly because of the lack of advantage that it gains outside of winning.
That's what I would say too. Like, at least Atali has like a couple of other things it can do.
I think it's worse than Loot too, to be fair. I think Loot has a better shot, even though Loot's still so new. I think the potential advantage of loot is real.
I think loot's still trying to find its footing, yeah.
But I just have a personal soft spot in my home for Ukumon Kazura.
Me too, yeah. And I think it's better than the other options that we have in this color combination, too, because we still have Sidisi Brood Tyrant, which just got, like, completely outclassed.
This one, you can mill your whole deck, make a whole bunch of zombies. There's Dread Return in your deck, so you can just, like, sacrifice the zombies to Dread Return back your Thassa's Oracle and win that way. There's other shit that you can do. That's just the easiest one that comes to mind.
Yeah, and then the third Doctor, I also put in this category. Yeah,
what does this one do?
This one, when it enters the battlefield, you get to choose to make a treasure token, a food token, or a clue token.
So you make a billion treasures, then a billion clues, then a billion foods. You'll sacrifice the foods for the life, and then sacrifice the clues for the card draw after you make the treasures?
Yeah, exactly.
How much mana is it?
What
is
it? He's 4 mana.
4 mana for
a 2/2 just with trample. And he gets +1/+1 for each non-creature token you control.
Non-creature. Oh, okay. So it's a token deck. It's like Marnius. It's like a Sultai Marnius sort of deal?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he has the whole Doctor's Companion thing going on with him. So there's also like a Bant version that you could play.
Oh, what color is just him by himself?
He's just Simic.
Oh, okay. But you compare him with a black card or any... There's other Doctors?
There's other Doctor's Companions that you can pair him
with. But the black one's just the best one.
I put him in this category because I don't know, like, there's nothing that... Enlightened Tutor is not a good enough reason to play the white Doctor's Companion over, like, Tainted Pact and Demonic Consultation also being in this color combination.
If you get to choose, yeah, I would agree that green is most important. Black is...
of course, yes.
Yeah, black is second most important, and then red, white, blue? Red, blue, and white? Red, blue, and white? Like that?
Red, then blue, and then white, I would say.
I guess White Offering Silence actually is huge.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But it doesn't help your food chain plan.
We should maybe visit that one. I feel like that one seems, like, almost good.
The third Doctor?
Yeah. No? Not good? 4 mana to just get a treasure is that kind of
I think it's worse than Ukuma and Kazur. Like, if I'm going to play a food chain deck in this color combination,
just
I'm leaning into Ukuma and Kazur.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you there. So let's give Ukuma and Kazur a blood orange.
So, like, the same
better
thing.
Better than Korvold, though.
Better than Korvold?
Like a
lighter orange.
Like a peach orange. Peachish
yeah,
orange.
Like a peachish orange.
Like
a little bit of a lighter orange.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so that's it for our 3 color combinations that we have to talk about today. So we're going to move on to our first 4 color combination.
We'll talk about Omnath for a second and then move on?
Sure. Yeah, we'll start with that color combination.
I figured we'd just get the bad one out of the way.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's actually 2 bad ones in Sans Black, actually. So there's 4 color Omnath that when it enters draws you a card, and that's how you get through your whole deck. And then there's also Aragorn the Uniter.
Yeah.
Because when you cast it and you go through your food chain loop, every time you cast Squee, you get to deal 3 damage to someone at the table.
Both of these offer you minor advantage, but I think at too high a cost to often be relevant. You know what I mean? A lot of times you're only doing the advantage part of your commander when things have gone wrong, and then they can also win with food chain. Atali still has that redeeming quality of you want to do Atali when you're winning and when you're gaining advantage. But 4 colors is way different. That's huge.
It is huge. So, like, you get access to everything that's good in the Sands Black color combination, but I think the biggest downside for food chain in this color combination is just, like, you're losing out on, like, the best support color for food chain. Like, you're purposefully avoiding that just so that you can have, like, some minor upside. I think the biggest problem with Aragorn is that he does nothing on his own. Like, at least Omnath
can make you mana. The fetch land make a bunch of mana and pay for itself is, I think that's actually something.
Everything that it helps you with is, like, all stuff that's, like, kind of uncounterable too. Like, if he gets into play, draws you a card, they can't respond to lands entering, so you just get those triggers. I mean, not all of them are good. But
the mana one is really good. Right,
yeah.
That's the second one. Yeah. Black is good for the forbidden tutors, but also, like we said, mentioned before, just tutors. Food chain's hard to find, and black cards can find them.
And speed. It also helps with speed quite a bit.
I give both of these reds. These are both reds for me.
You're going to give them a red? I was gonna give them above red, but below Korvold. Like a darker...
deep orange.
A really deep
crimson
orange. Yeah, like
crimson orange. Okay, yeah.
Crimson orange. Yeah, almost to the point of brown.
Yeah. I'll give him a brown.
All right, so that means that we'll move on to our second 4 color combination.
Is this... Yeah, okay.
You forgot about Atraxa. No,
I know Atraxa. This one I'm aware of. Yeah, Atraxa.
You're not.
It's like the worst improv partner ever.
Yeah.
What? That's not real. I don't believe you. Prove it.
No, you're not eating that at all.
Atraxa. Atraxa is great. My only issue with Atraxa lately is that Tymna Thrasios does it a little
it's
better right
way
now.
Better.
It's
yeah.
just cheaper mana value. My issue with Atraxa is the card advantage is huge. That advantage thing is awesome. But if you do pass the turn and you can't spin your wheels with Atraxa and like you're just drawing cards, you're not making the mana like you do with Atali, you're just drawing the cards. If you have to pass the turn, your angel is such a huge threat now. Everyone's going to want to clone it or take it or do something with it. You just become now like a liability almost, I think. So I think the deck is sweet and it's probably still one of my favorite ones. I think it is probably the best food chain deck. It's just, it is good. It's in the best colors and one of some of the best colors in CDH. It has all the things you're looking for. It just can be a little bit risky.
I think that the only reason why it fell out of favor was because having big chunky things in the command zone really fell out of favor. And its win conditions are worse than what Tymna Thrasios does.
Yeah.
Like Tymna Thrasios has way more two card win conditions. Like this deck just has food chain. The Tymna Thrasios decks have multiple two-card combos that make infinite mana with Devoted Druid,
yeah.
Thassa's Oracle. I guess technically both of these decks have Thassa's Oracle, so that just cancels each other out.
This one has access to Displacer Kitten, Teferi, Sol Ring, which is a three-card combo,
I've
which sucks.
I've decided that's bad.
That's kind of bad.
I've decided that's bad. Like, Displacer Kitten's really good in your Atraxa deck.
And that's why I think it's okay, because Displacer Kitten with Atraxa on its own is awesome. You're always playing Sol Ring, of course, and then Teferi, if you think about it, is just a three mana Grand Abolisher. If it's only just, I only play this when I win the game, don't pass a turn with it, it's just a more expensive Grand Abolisher, and you're playing a deck where you want to be playing Cutsoul and shit like that anyway, and you make a bunch of mana. So I think all the cards by themselves are playable in the deck. But I agree with you, three cards is a lot.
I still think that I agree with you, though, that it's definitely one of the better food chain commanders here. I think it just gets like the green.
It's just, I kind of agree too. As far as like, it may not be the best food chain deck, it's the best deck that plays food chain, right?
I would agree. Because I think if the best food chain deck is, I still think Atali.
Atali, yeah. But just playing Tymna Thrasios and then take like this, you know, seven cards out and swap them with, you know, bigger stuff. You go a little bit above Tymna Thrasios, it's still a good deck.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
And so yeah, I'll give it a green.
I'll give it a green too. All right, then our last color combination is five color.
Yeah, this one used to be the go-to. This one, first chain food sliver, used to be the one.
That's what I wrote down here too. First chain food sliver. Yeah. This one just has Cascade and gives your slivers Cascade, but who cares about the second part? It just having Cascade means you get to Cascade through your entire deck,
which means that you can pass on everything until you hit a silence, and then pass on everything until you hit a Demonic or a Thassa's Oracle, or I guess you pass on everything until you hit a Born Upon the Wind, and then pass on everything until you hit Consultation, and then pass on everything until you hit a Thassa's Oracle or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you don't even need like Born Upon the Wind, because you can just like, you want to get through your whole deck at some point, I guess.
Yeah, but you have to cast them in order is all I'm saying. And like, you can't really, the Thoracle win is a little bit harder, because what do? You go until you hit Thoracle, and then you need like the instant speed to respond to the triggers.
Okay,
there's
yeah.
other ways. You can put it under a breach. You can win any way you choose. Born Upon the Wind's one of them.
Mean.
You know what I mean?
It's easier now that we have ways that you can just do everything at flash speed, where now you can just go, okay, in response to this Cascade trigger that I finally found Thassa's Oracle on, I can just keep recasting first chain food sliver and exiling it, and then recasting it until I find the thing that I want.
Maybe Valley Floodcaller would have been a better example to use, because it's a creature that you can cast with the food chain and stuff like that. There are other ways. Now, a lot of times players in the past have just set up a way where like, I'm going to go until I hit a couple rituals. After I hit rituals, I'll go until I hit Demonic Tutor, and then I'll just cast a Demonic Tutor and then find it. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it any way you want, really.
Having five colors just opens up to like the entirety of Magic for you.
Again, I said this a whole bunch. The biggest issue, this one's only wins. It doesn't do any advantage on its own. 5 mana to cantrip stink. Sometimes you'll hit a counter spell that'll stink. That part sucks. But five color, having access to all of them, that part's really good.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have started with this one, because the other two in this color combination are worse, I think.
Food Chain Sliver has just strictly upgraded them, basically, right? Because the other ones, you got to play dead cards.
Yeah, the first one was Tazri.
Yeah.
Which I don't even remember what all this card does.
It finds a fucking creature.
It's original Tazri. Yeah. When it enters the battlefield, you can search your library for any ally creature card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle.
Yeah, so this one you had to play a couple of weird allies in order to win the game with looping the allies, whatever. But Food Sliver, you don't have to do that.
You
just play good cards, you don't have to play any bad cards. And what was the other one?
Niv-Mizzet.
Oh, yeah.
The first of the five color Niv-Mizzets.
Yeah, you go until you hit like a, I don't know, Elcor or some sort of in and out effect.
Other loops that you would end up having to find at that point.
Dead cards you have to play.
You reveal the top 10 cards of your library, and then for each color pair, choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them.
Right. So I think you go until you find, like I said, like the Elis Elcor or something like that, a drain effect on enter, and then just recast your commander.
Now that's a great way to go about it, yeah.
But Sliver, no dead cards. You just win with 5 color good stuff.
But I still think that it's not a great deck.
I still think that it's not a great deck, but I do think that it's probably like a yellow. It's probably like realistically it's boring, which is why we never see it. Is loop better? The advantage thing nowadays, I just kind of feel like that might be better.
Like your commander does nothing in first chain food sliver,
which is
the biggest
still bad
problem.
Okay, yeah, still blood orange. We'll still give it
I'm gonna give it the same thing that I'm gonna give Korvold. I think that bloodish orange,
it's still better than Korvold though.
Why?
Because it wins 5 colors. Or is Korvold, the draw power is better in Korvold?
So when I play first chain food sliver, I feel like the 5 colors is almost kind of a drawback sometimes.
Because your mana sucks a little more?
Because my mana sucks a little more. Now, I haven't played the deck as of recent, but whenever I did, I felt like I'd be looking at a hand that could like play mana dorks that can make certain colors of mana, but then like everything else is so pip hungry.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Sure. Okay. Yeah. So I'll give it. It's as good as Korvold. Okay. Fine. What's our final list of our top 5? We're doing 10 best food chain decks in CDH.
I guess we'll have to find that out. I think the things that we rated red, we can just skip over.
Let's go to the yellows. The yellows, I think, I don't think they're the best deck, but I agree that they are like a fine option to play at a CDH tournament. Yeah.
So you just want to include yellows and above.
I guess, right? There's a lot of blood oranges. I think there's like 3 or 4 decks, which is fine, right?
There's 4 decks. So here's our pod.
Do we include blood oranges and only dump reds?
If we only do 4, then this way, if we ever go back to best food chain
we'll
deck for the
this.
Channel,
okay.
We can just do this.
Perfect.
Pod.
I like that. What's the top 4 CDH food chain decks?
All right. So we have Rocco, Cabaretti Caterer, as the worst of them, technically, okay. I think we came to. And then Loot the Pathfinder.
Sure.
Which could go up in ranking, but we gave it a yellow for now.
Yep.
Then Atali, Primal Conqueror,
okay.
Which got a greenish yellow.
Yep.
And then the only green that we got was New Atraxa, the Grand Unifier.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like this. All of these commanders do something with food chain besides just winning the game, which nowadays I think is super important as we go into this mid-rangey hell type of landscape. Having a commander that has text is really good.
So if you're going to play a food chain deck because you want to win games, these are the top 4 that we would recommend. If you want to have fun, those other decks could certainly get you there.
Yeah.
But if you want to not feel like an asshole in a tournament, play these decks.
Thanks so much for watching. If you like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
David Newman, Pat Fires, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Yorba Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Joshua Day, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Fools Goto 9, Kwaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at Play to Win MTG.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thanks for watching.
See you next time.
Deadbeat Scott, Thuggied, Lil Sad Loner, Ghost Stories, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin, Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Marker. And action. I learned that from Pixar bloopers.
Do you know what that is? What's happening?
Marker is so that they can get the sound to line up with the video. That's
they
why
didn't
they
always have auto sync.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.